here we are in Aurora Health Foundation. This is our group room. This is where we do our Spanish classes, our astrology classes, and workshops, and we have our support group.
Susanna Faithful has set up the Aurora Health Foundation to help those who, like herself, are victims of sexual abuse. She wasn't believed as a child when she came forward to say her mother was harming her. As an only child, Susanna was left with her mother when her father walked out.
It was a rented house. It was very, in a little village. It was quite a large house, but it was very dingy, quite dark.
Did you feel safe anywhere within the house?
I used to hide under the cupboard, in the cupboard under the stairs. My nan had a chenille-type tablecloth that I used to hide underneath. But if my mum had come back from work, then she'd be shouting for me, so I'd have to leave.
Whereabouts in the house did the sexual abuse take place?
I shared a bedroom with my mother. She had a double bed, and it was against the wall, so I was against the wall, and then she was on the other side. And then there was a door at the end of the bed, which she'd keep locked. The more I cried, the worse it would be. So you just resolve yourself. I think there's a part of you that dies within you. I think that we used to have this roses kind of wallpaper, and I remember I used to just stare at the roses and just, I don't know, wish that I was dead. Because I think that how can the mother that gave birth to you do those things to you? I will never know. I'm not an abuser, so I don't understand. But I can't understand how you can have, being pregnant myself with my own children, you know, the love, the connection you have right from the beginning, that you want to protect them. It's the last thing you want to do is hurt them. And I just can't get my head around it. And I probably never will. And perhaps I think setting up Aurora and working in the way that I do is just to prove that it, you know, that it is possible to heal from it.
Part of the business of growing up as a young child is to begin to make sense of the world. And normally we begin to make sense of the world initially through the mediation of our parents, and particularly in the first weeks and months of a mother. If that sort of mediation between the baby and the outside world, or the child and the outside world, isn't benign and actually is malign, which of course it would be in terms of female sexual abuse, then the baby or the young child begins to grow up with a fragmented sense of themselves. They find it very hard to put an idea of themselves together. This is the consulting room where I see children. We've got tea sets, Lego, some soft toys, a doll's house.
Amongst the children's toys in her therapy rooms in Kent, Diana Kant, the psychotherapist, explains the damage done by adults who abuse.
If you think about that experience, that we as children, as very young babies, expect a degree of safety and security and primary care from our mothers. If that expectation is confounded, then something at a very primitive level gets broken, gets destroyed, and the child grows up immediately in an atmosphere of fear and threat. And I think there often can be an underlying degree of anger, resentment, fury that colours adult life.
Well, this is a poster that we put out when we attend our exhibitions that shows in the background shadowed children.
Bill Jenkins is showing me round his company, which designs and sells computer software to protect children from online abuse. He's dedicated his adult life to this because there was no one there to help or protect him when he was abused whilst in the care of his foster parents.
They came from Plymouth. She was a harsh-looking woman, great big eyes right here in my face. Just fearful to me. I was always frightened of her.
She was the primary abuser, is that right?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. The abuse was threefold. It was mental, it was physical, and it was sexual. I was required to bathe her, and I remember that the door handle seemed to be quite high, because I guess I was so small.
And you have talked about it before as being part of the genesis of this business, but you haven't mentioned that the abuse that you suffered was at the hands of a woman before. Is it more difficult to talk about for you because of that?
I don't think any man would feel particularly comfortable about admitting that they've been abused by a woman. You can see I'm feeling quite emotional about it now. It's almost like a dark world that has yet to be revealed.
There will be lots and lots of reasons why people do not report the fact that they've been sexually abused. One of the big hurdles is the stigma of being abused by a woman.
Superintendent Graham Hill from the Child Exploitation Online Protection Agency believes that stigma makes it hard for the abused to come forward.
We know that there's massive under-reporting in the offences against boys, for instance. There's a huge stigma for boys to come forward. There's still this idea that, you know, this rite of passage, that if a 14-year-old boy has sex with his 27-year-old teacher, that, you know, what's he complaining about? That sort of idea that it's a rite of passage. But we know that has significant psychological, physical and emotional effects on young boys and does affect their sexual development. 10, 15, 20 years ago, most crimes that were dealt with relating to child sexual abuse, the premise was always for investigators to treat the female in the family as a potential witness. And one of our messages is to all law enforcement officers now is that when you investigate serious sexual crimes or any sexual crime against a child, you should be considering how complicit is the female within that environment in that kind of offending.
Graham's main job is heading up the Behaviour Analysis Unit at CEOP, where he interviews female sexual offenders.
One of the big problems that we've got is that most of the women we come into contact are very reluctant to talk about their offending, because there's this huge stigma and embarrassment about what they've done.
Is the idea of women behaving, having access to a child in cohorts with a man, is that a cliche idea that they're doing it at the behest of a man?
Public's perception is coloured by the most sensational sort of crimes, and you know, you start looking at some of the duos that are talked about in the press, and you get, you know, a bad man with a bad woman, and you know, you end up with a perfect storm. But for us, what we're trying to say here at the centre is that women in their own right do have a sexual interest in children. And yes, there are some women that are cajoled, there's some women that are bullied and threatened and do things under duress, and there are others that do things for their own reasons, for their own motivation. We have some quite spectacular examples of women that have got men into their lives, that have brought men into their lives, simply for them to facilitate sex with their children so that they could be involved in that process.